To all of God's people that are gathered here, our current members here at Faith, our guests that have joined us, some of whom have come a pretty good distance, as I understand it, this morning. But obviously, the members of our family this morning, and especially you, Aiden, God's grace and mercy and peace are going to be with you, because now that we have celebrated Easter, we're going to be reminded that we live every day in an Easter celebration. And one of the biggest days of celebration is today. So let's start it the way that we're supposed to with Easter. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. The title of my message this morning is, okay, so what are you going to do now? Good question. What are you going to do now? And the words we're going to be considering this morning, this came from our first lesson where it said that God exalted Jesus at his right hand as both leader and savior to give repentance and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. So, it's hardly a new day for you here at Faith. In fact, as students go, you seem to have, for better or for worse, spent more time here than most of our confirmation students. So to have to say welcome to Faith hardly seems necessary, but we got a lot of people here. We got to say welcome. And you have to remember, we had some people that we did add as new members here a little bit earlier. Some of them have just started coming to worship here the last few weeks, but let's ask ourselves here, what's new? What is new here? And look, for some, the congregation is new, and this whole experience is new. You know, being now a confirmed member is going to be different, because you're going to feel that same clumsiness that the people that are coming here for the first time feel for a little while you take the sacrament. I mean, you've been watching them do it for a long time, but it seems like in every church you go to, they do things a little bit different, and trying to figure out exactly what it is that I'm supposed to do, that everybody else is doing, that they've been doing it a long time, but I haven't. Well, it'll take a little while. So, for you, it's what you become in the church is now going to be new. You've done a lot of things, an awful lot of things. You're one of the people that's seen in here with anything from a ladder to who knows what else. But you're always in and around God's people, and that's a good thing here. But for all of us, what we receive from our Lord every day is new. And we need to be reminded of that, okay, this is a special day for you. This is going to be a great day. As I said to you a little bit earlier, a lot of pictures, a lot of smiles, and a lot of handshakes, and a lot of well-wishers that are here on your behalf today. It might be kind of embarrassing, but it's actually kind of fun. It really is. And there will be more days like that. But what we get from our Lord is almost like something we've never received before. It is as new to us as a day like today is, which now then beckons the question we asked a little earlier. All right. So what are you going to do now? Your life up until now has been reasonably predictable. School, Sunday school, church, confirmation, all that stuff is part of a routine. Okay, so today's a big day, but now what about all the tomorrows? Because let's face it, Easter was last week. Easter's over, except it isn't. Easter is one of those things that where we get to celebrate it every single Sunday. The way I started my message a while ago, we could start that in August, in November. We could do it Christmas Day if we wanted to, because we, as God's people, get to live in an Easter joy. And I'm going to move over here now as we continue. It does seem that for those people who have been through the years of Sunday school, all the things that they've come up, and then they get to this day, for them it's like, whew, finally done. And through the years, there are at least some. We've never seen them again. But this day cannot be an ending. This has got to be a hopeful, joyful beginning, an opportunity to see, okay, just what does the Lord have in store for me now? And that's exciting to think about, that all the things that the Lord may need you for, just like he needs all these other people that are gathered with us this morning. So, I mean, what has changed as we're gathering together here? Well, underneath, and you know, I found it interesting. It says, I asked him, and this happens with all the confirmation students, that here they're in this nice gown, but underneath that nice gown, you've never seen a sharper student. He's wearing a nice new suit today, but none of you get to see it. Now, you'll get to see it a little bit later once he takes his gown off. But so what has changed? Everything. But in one sense, nothing. This is still the same individual sitting there on the pew that has been doing our acolyting, has been doing all kinds of things. But having said that, everything has changed. Everything changes now because now we take the faith to ourselves. It doesn't mean that all these other people that have helped you on your road of faith are going to fall away. It doesn't mean that they're not going to do anything else, but now today we recognize what it means that we are going to own what it is that God has given us through the Holy Spirit. So what are you going to do now? Because, let's face it, certain things have not changed. And that's part of what God has done for us and is doing for all of us. That doesn't just go back to when Jesus died on the cross. That plan of salvation was put into place back in the Garden of Eden. Something needed to be done because of what had happened to God's people as Adam and Eve disobeyed in the Garden of Eden. But before God could even announce what now had to happen because of sin, the first thing he did was he gave us the promise of a Savior. And that has not changed. And it means that we live lives in the resurrection. Lives, sins forgiven. You get to live for Christ every day. That has not changed. It was that way years and years ago, and it is now. And also the Holy Spirit. He is the one that placed that faith in you in the waters of holy baptism. And he is the one who has given you his gifts. And you've only just seen the beginning. The fruits of the Spirit. His life-transforming work that's going to be working in you throughout your life. So a lot of things have not changed, but certain things have changed. And it's what you get to do and be now. You get to be a witness. Up until now, you've been mostly a student. One that's taking in the information. And look, in one sense, we never stop being students. I don't get to stop being a student. I have to continue to study God's word. It's part of if we're ever going to be able to be witnesses of what Jesus has done for us, we got to continue to keep learning about Jesus. But now is the time when we get to start doing things. You know, it's hard to imagine that the people that taught us in Sunday school and all of that were at one time students sitting in a Sunday school classroom and then eventually sitting in there wearing a gown just like you. But every one of them did. They have been through that, and now you get a chance where one day, I don't know if teaching Sunday school is going to be up your alley or not, but if it is, you'll get to do that. And that's all a part of being a witness. You also get a boldness. You may not have ever known. In the years that we met together one-on-one, a little bit of a different experience for me, who was used to anything from 3 to 5 to 13 to 15 students in a class, to go one-on-one, I have watched a transformation of a young man in so many ways, not the least of which was he was a tiny little guy when we started, but wow, what a strapping, handsome young man that we have now. But not just in appearance, but how it is that he is willing to talk about the faith now. He already has a boldness that he may not have ever have known, and it's only going to grow. You know, there are some amongst us in the congregation that are just never afraid to make sure that if people need to know how we feel, we're going to tell them how we feel. But it's never more important than how we feel about Jesus Christ. And then, guess what? You get to be a Thomas. I'm looking at some of the faces behind you, and it's like, I think they were okay with what I was saying until I said that. Now, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. What is this? How is it that we get to be a Thomas? I mean, Thomas from our gospel lesson? I mean, aren't we supposed to be the, shall we say, the anti-Thomas, doing everything but what he did? This was the guy that got called out by Jesus for refusing to believe the witness. I mean, it would be hard to imagine what the disciples saw, and then all of a sudden, here comes Jesus rising from the dead and appearing before them. You can't make this stuff up. And yet, here is Thomas, where Jesus finally had to say to him, hey, was it because you saw me that you believed? Thomas was adamant in his refusal. You remember those words? I will never believe. He had to see Jesus for himself. Otherwise, he wanted nothing to do with any word about resurrection. And, you know, I don't know if you have achieved any kind of a nickname in school yet, or if it's a nickname you care to have or not. But being a Thomas myself, I can tell you I would not like the idea of having the word doubting stuck to my name. There weren't a whole lot of nicknames I ever had that stuck. I mean, I am one of the things that Thomas is a twin, and I am a twin, and we have to assume that Thomas at least had a twin. Maybe it was a twin brother, twin sister, and maybe that person wasn't even alive anymore by the time we got to the scriptures. We never hear about it except that Thomas is a twin, but he is doubting, and we just don't want that nickname. But even though the only information that we have on the disciples is the information that was shared with us in the Bible, and if your name is not Peter, James, or John, you don't get a lot of airtime in the scriptures. This is a lot of our God's people here. If I ask you to turn around and look at the people and pick one that you know well and say, tell me the most important thing that they ever said to you, I'm not so sure you'd ever remember that. But based on the few things that Thomas did say in the Bible, maybe we need to give him a second look and ponder whether we want to be him or not. For example, in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John, this is when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus was the brother of Mary and Martha. You might remember that Bible story. And in the midst of things, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he did not immediately go to Lazarus. He remained where he was at another 2 days, and at some point, he had to tell his disciples, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad I wasn't there, but let's go to him now. Well, the other disciples responded, no, wait a minute. They were threatening to stone you back there in Judea. You want to go back there? But what did Thomas say? Let us go, that we may also die with him. Yeah, that Thomas said that. Let us go, that we may also die with him. A statement of faith, if there ever was one. One another? In the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus, in that statement where he reminds us, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back so that you may be with me where I am. And then he said, and you know the way to the place where I am going. Well, all of the disciples must have wondered, what's he talking about? But only Thomas was willing to ask him, well, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus replied, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And what we learn is our new life in faith is that Thomas really is what we need to be. He's willing to ask questions, even if, well, at least to you personally, it might seem like a stupid question. There are no such things except for questions that are never asked. But to the disciples, as Jesus gave out parable after parable to the people, quietly later, he would explain each parable to the disciples. And it must have gotten a little monotonous for Jesus. Having explained every single one of them, it's like, aren't these guys ever going to catch on to what these mean? Well, Thomas admits that he doesn't understand. It's when we admit that we don't have the full picture of Jesus. This is what turns us back to Christ. It's what turns us back to Bible study. It's what turns us back to the scriptures. It's what turns us back to prayer. And it's what turns us back to asking questions. To this day, I'm not afraid whether it's to even call one of the seminaries, the places where pastors are trained, and get an opinion from one of the people there. Or to even knock on the doors of one of my neighbor pastors to ask them, I got something that's confusing me a little bit. We talk about it. We cannot be afraid to do the same thing now that we are taking the faith to ourselves. Thomas cares more about understanding, more about making real sense of things in his own heart and mind than, shall we say, looking cool. And Thomas is willing to admit that he doesn't get it so that he can better follow the path that Jesus is describing. Now, I can't exactly say what's going to happen to you later on in life, 20 years, 30 years, whatever the case might be. The Lord knows, none of us do. But I can tell you what happened to Thomas. That in later years, there were some things that were found in what is today known as India that bear his name, where apparently he started the Christian church in India. And word has it that eventually he was martyred there. He was killed for believing in Jesus Christ there in India. To go such a great distance to tell other people about Jesus. Well, are we going to have such bold things in our future? Well, I don't know. But the Lord chooses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And here's an example of it. We had a lesson from Acts chapter 5. This is from the previous chapter. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, the members of the Jewish High Council were astonished. And then they recognized that the two of them had been with Jesus. Well, we may not have the smarts of the people that are considered the ultra elites of our country. We may not have, whether it's the education or whatever, but we have Jesus and the knowledge of what Jesus has done for us. And it's all that we need. So we keep coming back to that same question. What are you going to do now? Here's some suggestions for you, Aiden. Stay close to your living Savior. There's enough students that have just at some point seemingly cast their Lord and Savior off, really couldn't care less if they ever showed their face back in church aside from a wedding and a funeral ever again. You know, Jesus has gone away to prepare a place for you. He's coming back for us. But in the meantime, he wants us to be his witnesses. And the way that you do that is to stay close to your church. Now, for any of our youth, we cannot know how long this particular church is going to be their church. My guess is for some of them, it may be their church their entire life. For some, they may go off, get married or whatever it is, and they'll move to other parts of the country. This will always be their home church. This will always be a special place for them, but it may not be the church where they're going to spend most of their time. Wherever it is, let the Lord bless you here in our midst as you have been a blessing. Let the Lord lead you and your life and your faith. And speaking of that, since you're taking the faith to yourself, stay close to it. We're going to be chasing doubts our entire life. Me, no less than anybody else. You, no less than anybody else. But it's an opportunity to remind us that since the faith was placed into our hearts long before we were aware of what was going on, there's something greater than us that is to take place today. Let's remember, this may be an important day, but it is simply a recognition that we have got some important things that are going to happen to us the rest of our lives. For whatever that life is going to be, Aiden, I hope that you look forward to it. And I hope that you will always have the Lord as a part of that life because of the things that he has given to you so that you can be a witness to what God has done for you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. The time has come now that we are going to be receiving Aiden now in the midst of a special confirmation rite. So I'm going to step down here. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the members of our congregation are rejoicing with thankful hearts that now, Aiden, you are to become a part of our Christian fellowship. Through baptism, you have been brought to the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, and now you have been taught the faith according to our Lord's bidding. The fulfillment of his bidding we now celebrate together with grateful hearts, rejoicing that we openly and publicly confess the faith before him, which he himself placed into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So will you please stand now? Our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "Everyone who confesses me before others, I will also confess before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven, so that we may rejoice together in this confession. I now ask you in the presence of God and of this congregation, do you this day, in the presence of God and his church, believe and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who has given you life by dying for you on the cross and rising again that you may live forever? If so, answer, I do. Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the true and inspired word of God? If so, answer, I do. Do you accept and confess that the teachings of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, drawn from the scriptures as you have learned to know them from the small catechism, are faithful and true to the word of God? If so, answer, I do. As a member of this church, do you intend faithfully to conform all your life to the word of God and in faith, word, and action to continue steadfast in this confession of our one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, suffering all, even death, rather than falling away from it? If so, answer, I will with the help of God. Do you intend to continue regularly and faithfully hearing the word of God, receiving the Lord's Supper in his church, and supporting the work our gracious Lord has given this congregation with your prayers, your time, your talent, your treasures, and your testimony? If so, answer, I will with the help of God. And so now, as you have declared this faith, I now ask you to confess it. And friends, since the confession of our faith is something we must all be prepared to do at every point in our lives, let us all gathered here this morning join those who have come before God as we confess our faith of the Holy Christian Church. It's in our worship folders, or we're going to now also place it up on the screen. And so then, in holy baptism, our sins are forgiven and we are granted a new life in Christ our Lord. And so I ask you, do you this day, in the presence of God and of this congregation, acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism?
Yes.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways?
Yes, I do renounce.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty?
Yes, I Yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son?
Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And so now, Aidan, as you have now spoken before God and his church, I'm going to call you forward here in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to give me your hand as pledge of your promise and kneel to receive the blessing. Aidan Blair Thompson, may God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, give you the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, of grace and prayer, of power and the fear of God, as he strengthens you with his grace to life everlasting. Peace be with you. Amen. And your confirmation verse that you have chosen is from Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. Receive this special plaque with the precious words by which you have been confirmed into the faith. May these be the words which guide you through the rest of your life as you look to our Lord for all things, who has given you all things through his almighty word. Aidan, upon this, your profession and promise, I ask the minister of word and sacrament for this congregation in the name of the Lord and this congregation, welcome and acknowledge you as a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and a Faith Lutheran Church here in Newport Richey, Florida, of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I invite you to continue to receive the Lord's Supper and to participate in all the other blessings of salvation which God has given to his church, and to live them out continually in his worship and service, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Almighty and most merciful Father, in the waters of holy baptism you have united your children in the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Renew in him the gift of your Holy Spirit, that he may always live with the faith that ever clings to his Savior. Enable him to find joy and comfort only in him, learning to love you and his neighbor, to bear his crosses with patience and joy. Grant that bringing forth the fruits of faith, he may continue steadfast and victorious to the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now we have got a special greeting for you from our youth.
Good morning, everyone, and congratulations to Aidan. This is the CIA, the group that Aidan will now be joining, and we just had a few words for him. As someone who's personally watched you grow before my very eyes, I can't explain to you how beyond proud I am and excited I am for you. This is the first step on a journey that you will be on for the rest of your life.
As you reaffirm your faith today, you are now making the choice to move forward in your journey, not only as you walk with God, but as you walk with your family here in faith. Those are all here today to support you.
We have been thrilled to have spent the limited time we have with you so far, but we are beyond excited to have you join us full time. We now firsthand the bonds that can be formed here in our youth group. We become a family more so than you might expect. We know that we will always have someone to lean on in times of need, someone to talk to when we need an ear, and even someone to argue with because, well, who doesn't?
Having been where you are now, in the same pew, in those same robes, surrounded by those who love us, we understand the significance of today, and we know you do too. Today you make the decision to join your brothers and sisters in Christ on the path that he has set for you. You choose now to be a witness in the lives of those around you, at school, while working or volunteering, and when you're just out in the world each and every day. You are a light of Christ, and now you get to spread that light to all the lives you will come across.
Last but not least, we are so excited that we get to experience the upcoming National Youth Gathering with you, as we will all be attending for the first time. None of us are quite sure what we may be in for, but at least we know we will all be in it together, as a family. Aside from that, we will have many more events, fundraisers, lock-ins, and classes. We are excited to have you in now.
From your brothers and sisters here in CIA, we welcome you to our group and pray you are excited as we are for the many adventures that lay before us all. Congratulations on your confirmation, and now let the work, witnessing, and fun begin.
Aiden, go now in the peace of the Lord. Be steadfast and moving, remembering that your work in the Lord is never in vain. And may the Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and keep you all your days here in our midst. Amen. You can return to your seat. And friends, at this time, let's receive our offerings. If you've not yet filled out the faith fellowship cards that are in the racks in front of you, please do so. A prayer has been requested this morning. On behalf of the newborn infant, Samantha June Cracciolo, born prematurely this morning, to Sam and Michael Cracciolo, born 2 pounds and 14 ounces, obviously hospitalized this morning, part of the Thompson family. Please note the special prayer response that is on the screen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who have traveled and are traveling, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our guests in worship today, that Christ bless their lives in the hearing of the word, with faith in understanding and joy, let us pray to the Lord. For those who continue to bring the light of Christ into places of darkness, calling people to repentance and teaching Jesus Christ and his saving love, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the world around us, for the nations in conflict, for those who are victims of hate and violence, and for good and faithful leaders to guide the nations and the people in paths of justice, goodness, and peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all the sick, we pray this morning on behalf of Samantha June Cracciolo and also for Mom Michael, who is hospitalized, and also for on behalf of Hank Witt, hospitalized at Trinity Hospital, the grieving in their loss, the dying in their last days, on behalf of the families of Marge LaValle and Linda Stewart, and those whom we now name before the Lord in our hearts. That they may know healing, comfort, and peace according to God's gracious will, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our own lives, that we may show forth Christ's light in faithful words of witness and show forth his love in faithful acts of love and mercy to our neighbor, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For wisdom and discernment, that the fading glory of this world may neither tempt nor deceive us from the true glory of Christ, crucified and risen, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Fully dependent on your faithfulness, generosity, and graciousness, we entrust all for whom we pray to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. This closing prayer, which is on the screen, we pray together. Oh God, amid doubts and fears, your gift of faith gives us the confidence that you are continually by our side because Jesus lives forevermore. As we wait until that day of unending glory with him, teach us to live the lives you've given as a reflection of your love, that we may serve you and others in truth and give honor to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loves us and gives us his everlasting comfort and good hope through the gospel, strengthen your hearts in every good word and work, as the Prince of Peace grants to you his eternal peace at all times and in all ways. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Wow, thanks for being a part of our special service today. Remember, starting next week, we go to one service on Sunday at 10 a.m. We hope you can join us. Go in peace and serve the Lord.